Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Hey, you made it through the intro today.
Hey.
Bravo.
Inject some air horn sounds here.
Yeah.
No, made it through. Very, very exciting accomplishment for me on the week, but not even the only one. This past weekend was former Popcorn Culture podcast editor, now Super Carlin Brothers main channel editor, Ethan.
Yes.
We all went to celebrate his wedding.
Yes.
Which was truly beautiful and amazing. It was just like up in the mountains and it was all very Christmas themed, and like all the Ethan himself was wearing like a green velvet jacket and all the groomsmen were wearing green velvet bow ties.
Yeah.
And it was like a really, really, really great and amazing combination of like all the various elements of, I don't know, like as far as weddings having themes are concerned, I thought it was perfectly incorporated. It was a really cool wedding.
It was a really great wedding and our family felt like fairly involved. I mean, you and me least of all, but
we were there. Yes.
But then our younger brother Tyler was the best man. Our dad was performing the ceremony. So it was just like a big family event. Our niece Olivia was the flower girl and our nephews Holden and Finn were the ring bearers and they did amazing. So
oh my gosh, so cute. Yeah. Finn is a little bit older than Addie and he was dragging Holden in on like a little like red wagon that was all decorated with like greenery and stuff like that, and it was just like it almost seemed like the weight of pulling Holden for Finn was like maxing out like what he was capable of, so he's like, you know, he's like quite literally like lugging Holden down the aisle, which was, I mean, it was so cute, but all the little kids like did amazing, which the idea of asking your friends children to be involved in a wedding, like this is always one of those things that like I almost wish that I had Addie when you got married so that Addie could have been incorporated.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, like so we could have like a flower girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it would have been so fun. But then I also feel like there's this like unexpected challenge where you, the parent, are so like beyond honored and flattered that your kids get to be incorporated on somebody else's special day. But then the kids themselves, I feel like oftentimes kind of have like a completely different opinion about this involvement.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're sort like of
like, yeah,
you mean I'm gonna have to get dressed up in front of everybody and like go and do this thing?
Do a thing? It sounds really
This is a pretty
lot of people staring at me. High probability of like tears or freak out or incompletion.
Yes, yes, of course. And so anyway, but they all did. They did amazing, which was really cool to see. The overall evening, I thought that there was this like really cool recipe, which was something that like maybe I don't know that I've fully ever like appreciated inside of like a wedding environment before, especially because I personally didn't know a whole lot of the people that were there. But like the vibe of the whole place, or like when you're going through and you're picking out like all of your adornments and stuff for the wedding, and like what will the table settings be? Are we going to do like a plated dinner or like a catered dinner, or is it like open bar? What type of drinks will be there? Like, you know, there's all these like little decisions that you're making as to like what will ultimately be the tapestry that is the evening,
right?
You know, and so many things are so important. And this was one of the first weddings I ever went to where the guest list I thought was just so like remarkable in terms of how it played out and the impact that it had on the bride and groom
right.
themselves, which is to say that like when you're doing, I like to call it family math, but like when you're putting together your guest list, and yeah. Alice and I had this like where we were, neither of us was like dead set on having like a really big wedding with like right. lots and lots of people. But as you know, I remember we were sitting down in like our whiskey chairs is what we call them in our house. We're like, you know, we have like our pen and paper out, and we're kind of like, you know, writing down like, okay, you know, so we've of course got like, you know, your mom and dad, my mom and dad, you know, like whatever, you know, like you're writing down like the brothers and so, you know, like, and then this right. person, you know, this cousin has a plus one, so we need to include that. So you get through like your family, and like our thing was like, if we see you at Christmas, then that was sort of like the family that we felt like we see with enough frequency to you know, include
to warrant an inclusion. Yes,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I think for the most part was like there was no like blood lost over that or anything. That's yeah. I think that most people associated with a wedding that felt like a like good parameter.
Yeah, but it's like those people exist in like these weird Venn diagrams where it's like, you know, oh, maybe like if you see, you know aunt, you know, Teresa every single Christmas, but then you also see her, you know, in the summer, and you spent a semester interning at her place of work or something,
right?
And it's like, oh, clearly we got to invite her, but now because like you've invited that level of the family, now it's like, now you also have to invite Uncle Len, who I've only seen like once in the past 3 years,
which right,
I'm using our actual family member names. That's not the relationship we have with those people.
Yeah, but, no, not at all. Yeah, yeah. None of those are real examples, yeah. even though they are real names.
Yes.
But you're exactly right. Like if you enter like a new quadrant of the family and there's like one sibling who you're close with, then there is certain like a certain kind of feeling like, well, if I invite, you know, great Uncle Steve, then I probably also need to invite great Aunt Irma as well,
right, yeah.
you know, which are not real family names.
No.
Yeah. But so anyway, the thing that I felt like I discovered very quickly for Allie and I was like, you know, we took a step back and we're like at 47 people on our guest list of, you know, 75 people
right.
that are like the immediate family that needed to be like included in order to, you know, like make sure that like all the people who are directly related to us were going to be involved in everything. And then, you know, our wedding capped out, I think, at like 70 people. So, you know, then like you're like looking at like your groups of friends and trying, you know, to like figure out like, you know, like who all is going to be here and stuff like that. Anyway, so this is like a very long-winded way of saying that like I felt like all the attendees at Ethan's wedding were such like a great smattering, because Ethan is involved in like a huge variety of different things, you
yeah.
know, like he was in like a fraternity in college, you know, he was in like a band for a little while when he was like working his first job out of college. So, you know, he's got like these, like, you know, then like there's like the whole, you know, like Super Carlin Brothers, you know, group
yeah,
of people.
Of and you know, like he has like the podcast side of things.
Right.
Yeah.
His high school friends. So like, you know, there's people coming from like all different walks, but like, you know, they may all even know each other by like one touch, you know, like there's like
right.
one degree of like, you know, the bandmates maybe know some of the fraternity brothers. I'm just making stuff up. I don't know if the exact things, but anyway, it ended up coalescing together into just like a really fun bunch of human beings,
right?
You know, who were overall in attendance at the thing, which I was just sort of like, you could feel and you could see, you know, like on Ethan and his bride, Kate's face, like that they were just clearly just like enamored to be like so
yeah.
surrounded by like all these people that they love so very
yeah,
much. So
it was really cool. It's also like there's this weird, you know, phenomenon I've experienced at some weddings before, and maybe it was more in focus at Ethan's in particular, where like sometimes I'm always surprised. Like I definitely know Ethan more than Kate of the bride and groom.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah,
like
sure,
there's
yeah.
that, but it's like, and it's like, I'm staring there and I'm looking at like Ethan's like, all the groomsmen and like, okay, I know the best man. That's my brother. I've seen him before.
Yep.
And I know the guy standing behind him. That's Chris. He grew up in my neighborhood.
Right.
And then these three people, I have no idea who they are even at all.
Right.
You know,
right,
and I'm
right,
like, right. I see Ethan every single day. I talk to him for like, you know, an hour a day. Like, I feel like I know him pretty good. And there are three people who are close enough in his life to be groomsmen. And I have no idea who they are. You know, it's like, what? It's like, you never, it's like this baffling amount of like, you just never know how much you don't know about another person. Like it reminds me of in Name of the Wind,
nice.
where Chronicler is asking Quoth if like he learned, he's like, oh, you learned Temmek in a day. And he's like, well, I learned, I learned enough to defend myself in court the next day. And he's like, you learned the entire language. He's like, well, no, I don't think you could ever learn all of anything, let alone a language, which is always a funny thing. Cause I'm like, yeah, I don't know all of English. You know?
Right. I know it's yeah, so it's true.
Like,
yeah,
it's like, of course you don't.
I speak it every single day of my life, and yet there are words I stumble across all the time.
It's like, how much of English do you think you don't know? Like, do you think you know less than 50%?
Oh,
you know,
man, what an interesting question. Because it's like, how many words are out there that are so specific to like circumstances that you would have no reason to ever encounter them,
right?
At all.
Right.
You know, and then even inside of that, like umbrella are going to be then like dialects or like regional like terms and stuff like that. You know, like I think somebody this past weekend, again, at the wedding, like referred to like soda as pop, which, you know, that like that's not lost on me. Like I know that like certain parts of the country refer to soda as pop.
Right.
But like, you know, that's a very, very, very obvious version of this type of thing,
right,
where there could be so many things that are much less obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So no, that's a great question, because even like when you hear about like the animal kingdom or whatever, and you know, you're like I could name a whole bunch of animals, no problem, but like chances are you can only name 2%,
if
1% of all living species.
Yes, I've seen TikToks before where it'll be like, can you name this animal? And it'll be like, you know, the guy's like clearly like just really into animals. And, you know, you're like, how can I not name an animal or whatever? And it'll be like, boom. And it'll be like, yeah, this sort of rare, unique species of frog. And you're like, oh man, yeah, I couldn't have told you. I could have told you it was a frog.
I got frog.
And then sometimes it'll just be like creatures. And I'm like, that may as well be a Pokemon, you know, except not, because I would probably know if it was a Pokemon. Like that is an animal I didn't know existed, you know.
Right. Yeah. So caught completely off guard. But no, you're totally right. Like that's like weddings are such a great example of this kind of thing happening, where you go and it's sort of like, wow, there are aspects of your life that I know nothing about.
I know. You go in, you're like, okay, probably odds are there's someone on Ethan's side of the bridal party that is actually an inclusion of Kate, because she has a brother or a cousin or someone who just stands
certainly
on that side,
yep,
or something like that. But then it's like, yeah, after that, I don't know, maybe they're cousins, maybe they're in a band together, maybe Ethan has a long lost brother I haven't heard of. I don't think that's the case. I know him that well, at least,
I think we know Ethan well enough to know that he doesn't have another sibling, but so anyway, I mean, overall, just like super cool, fun, you know, occasion, which was great, and the whole like SCB team was there, which was, you know, super fun. So we're all just like kind of hanging out and chilling. So.
Okay, but so since we were at a wedding, Ben, and we've talked about this a few times on The Pop, I have to ask you, how did you feel about dancing?
Oh man, I did my best.
You did your best?
I did my best. I tried really hard. And I would say, like, this is a mark of for me as an attendee to a wedding, a mark of a good wedding is that like it felt open enough for me to feel comfortable like going out there and sort of like being involved. But there were so many people there that were so much more like into it and stuff like that, where I could almost go and like be like a fly on the wall a little bit, where it was like, nobody here is paying attention to me at all. Like,
right.
I'm able to like successfully go and like, you know, dance with Allie in the corner. And that was like one of those things where I was like, I'm good. I'm far enough away from the action. The photographer's way over there. Like, there's no risk of me even like showing up in the background.
Yeah, it was a wedding where you were allowed to, like, if you didn't want to be out there, that wasn't really a problem. I've been to weddings where it's like, basically like, there is, you know, 98% of the people there are on the dance floor. And it's like, if you and your date are off sitting at the table, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Oh, sure. You know? Yeah. And no, but this is always one of those interesting, like, weddingisms as well, though, is sort of like the, like, how and who of the people in attendance, like when they go through, you know, because there's sort of like the typical rituals, if you will, to the wedding, you know, like where they'll do like the first couple of dances, you know, and like sort of like a lot of the traditional bits of the wedding, and then it will transition, you know, like dinner's over, those things have happened, and it's sort of like, okay, and now guys, we're gonna do the cha-cha slide or whatever, right. And it's sort of like, how many people come and get up out of their chairs? Because almost always at every single wedding I think I've ever gone to, there are two people who are waiting for dancing.
Yeah.
And like, so the moment that clicks on, they are up out of their chair, they're on the floor. And sometimes it will just be like those two people, or those two people and, like, you know, like the flower girl, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like with the dad might be out there, and it's sort of like they are the, I always think of it, so like when I did aquarium stuff, you would have to siphon water all the time. So mm-hmm. You'd stick one end of a tube into the tank, and then like you would basically be trying to draw water out of it into like a bucket to like a water change. So you basically have to breathe in on the other end of the hose, which creates the siphon, and then water will freely flow.
Yeah.
You know, until the bucket's full or whatever, and you pull it out. And I feel like that is how dance floors are in my mind, is someone starts the siphon, and it's almost like you get those like 2-4 people out there, usually something like a little bit like adorable or whatever. And then people will start to like sort of like filter their way in. And then that like one song comes on and people are like, all right,
it's full enough. It's just the right song. I can get out there without like feeling like too under the spotlight.
Yes.
But then there's like the pattern where it's like they'll do that and you'll get a bunch of people out there, and then like 2-3 songs later people are like, all right, I've had enough, or I don't know this song. It's like the more, once there's a bunch of people out there, the DJ will always feel free to be like, I'll get a little bit more niche, I'll get a little bit more experimental.
Yeah.
And then eventually people will like filter off to the point, and then they got to fall back on either a new wedding event is happening,
sure,
like, now we got to do the shoe game, or now we're doing speeches, or now we're doing first date with the mom or dad, or first dance with mom or dad or something. And that'll be like, okay, it got too sparse. People are like, okay, I don't want to go back out there. So I got to clear it. I got to reset.
Like, this is where I almost wonder if like a good DJ is actually doing all of these things completely intentionally. Like,
oh yes,
like,
they
like,
are.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, and of course, like I know on some level, like, you know, like there must be the songs that are like universally like really good at keeping people out there, mm-hmm. but it's almost like at times I'm almost like, is this like, hey, like let's play a song that will taper some people off the floor because we need to get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, all right, we're going to play a song that like I know people will walk away from. So you're almost like intentionally like causing like a dance floor exodus, so to speak. Like yeah. It's like you're that tuned in that you know like how groups of people are going to respond to the various like song-based stimuli.
Right. Yeah.
But the other thing that I felt like happened, you know, at this wedding, it always reminds me of middle school dances, because I remember in middle school, you know, like you would go and you would do these socials, and like they would have brought a DJ out who's like playing music the whole time. And for the most part, you're just like standing around like with your little like clique of friends or whatever, you know, chatting, talking. Usually what I was doing was trying to jump and touch the net on a basketball hoop because we were like in the gymnasium.
Yeah, naturally.
And I thought for sure if people could see my mad ups, they'd be like, wow, that guy's super cool.
Whoa.
You know, so like in a way you're almost hoping to like, you know, display something desirable enough about yourself, like your ability to jump really high.
Sure.
You know, and that might lead to like somebody wanting to dance with you. But in the meantime, I'm definitely not dancing at all.
I'm just going out there.
But it's the same exact thing, like where it's like as the night goes on, like maybe, you know, like people get like a little bit more comfortable or like acclimated to the environment or whatever, they will eventually like all find their way out there. The dancing will actually happen. And I always felt like it was like the last 20 minutes, it was always like it's just pure peak. You know, it's like everyone's out here, like everybody has finally like embraced it, and like then the DJ is like, all right, last song, and you're like, what? No. But even that, so then I was like driving home, you know, on the bus with Allie, and I was sort of like, I wonder if they even do that on purpose, like they leave you wanting just like one
it's, you know, like you gotta exit on a high note.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you don't want like people to be like, all right, you know, that was good, and then it's like, all right guys, last song, and then it's like, all right, we'll see you later, you know. It's like you want people to almost be like groaning that it's over, because that's almost like, you know, that's like the perfect, it's almost like a perfect meal is like if the last bite is like the last the last amount you would need to be like satiated.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, but overall, super cool wedding. And one of the things that I did, this was like to transition into, I think one of the topics you have listed for today was going into the evening. I was super excited because I myself have my own like maroon velvet jacket.
Yeah.
That Ethan, you know, like when he had told me he was wearing like his green velvet, he was like, dude, you should wear your red velvet. And I was like, I will do that.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever. I'm so excited to have a chance to wear it. But the thing I had like always wanted to do and never fully like properly gave a shot was because I wear bow ties fairly frequently, but they're like the clip around
right,
bow tie,
yeah,
like not like a
clip. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like a self tie bow tie.
Right.
And so I had actually purchased one for our live event at the Grandin Theater back in October of this year.
Yeah.
And I was like, OK, if I can find the time to learn, I have a backup in case I need it. But if I can find the time to learn how to tie a bow tie, then I will have this like super cool bow tie and like a brand new skill. And I'll be so excited about it.
Yeah.
And the month of October was just like a full blown like blitz for us.
Yes.
It was so busy. And it was like, that was a testament to how little time that we had was that I didn't have 15 minutes, to, like pull up the video and just stare in a mirror and continuously try to like redo the thing and redo the thing and redo the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just wasn't happening. So I just wore the other one, but, we got to the wedding early enough. I had brought my backup just in case. I had also got my new bow tie that I was super excited about. And I was like standing in front of the mirror and I'm like going through the process and I'm like, okay, then this, then this, then this, then this, you know? And I'm like I watched like four videos and each one taught me like a different little trick that I was
right.
Like, oh, okay. Oh, that helps. That helps. But so Alice is over there, you know, helping me try to like do it because then you're staring in the mirror and everything's reversed and your left hand's your right hand and all that
right.
type of stuff. But I finally did it.
Nice.
And I can't tell you how excited I was. I was like, I can't believe that like learning how to tie a bow tie to me was like one of these like just unattainable abilities.
Yeah.
You know? And it, I mean, it kind of brought me back a little bit to like the pandemic where I was like, I'm going to finally learn how to solve a Rubik's cube. And so I ordered one and I'm like going through and I'm like figuring out the little algorithms and I'm like, man, okay, I'm getting pretty good at this. Like I know how to get like here. And then it's like, okay, last step. And it was like a 23 step algorithm. And I was like, I might be
like,
out.
What?
Like, I think my brain was just literally like, this is just not for you.
This can't be it.
I know. I was like, so everybody I know who can solve a Rubik's cube, they're doing all of
right.
this.
It's like, no. Wait. This is like the old, this is like the old school method, right? Like people like, cause I watch people do it and there's no way the number of people I know to do it are doing, have memorized this 23 step algorithm. Rather than that's crazy, right?
Yeah. But like, so instead of the Rubik's Cube being this like very inspiring experience for me, it was kind of this like, it did the exact opposite where I was like, man.
Yeah.
Okay, like maybe there are skills out there that I can't do. And the reason I can't do them is because my brain doesn't have the computational power
right.
to do it. And so tying a bow tie felt like one of those things. Like, I feel like it almost even has like a reputation for being like sort of like you have to have leaned into the quirk so much in order to have like learned how to do this thing. And like, that's part of like what makes it so whimsical and special.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was like, man, this is not that bad and I can do it. And I was like, I felt like I was like glowing with pride a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, this was pretty cool.
It's like anyone else could have tied it, but because you knew you tied it, it was like beaming.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully that like that conveyed.
Oh,
like
it was, like, I think it was pretty, I was like, oh yeah, Ben tied that for sure.
Like,
yeah, he's wearing it like a man who ties his own bow tie, you know?
No, it felt good. It felt good. Cause I mean, like throughout my whole life, I just really haven't had a whole lot of instances to like, to be that particularly dressed up. I, even to this day, like I would probably be happier if somebody else tied a necktie for me. I can do it, but I just never feel like it comes out like looking the proper, like, you know, length down my body or like the little tail behind or whatever. Dude, seems
yeah,
like
even
it's too
just tying
long.
A regular tie, I feel like you know, like I can tie a tie, no problem.
Sure,
I can do it. But it's like I've been using the same knot to tie a tie since I was like in high school, and I feel like there's a part of me that's like, I think this is the version of it that like maybe Dad taught me because like this is the easiest one to do,
sure.
or something. Or like whenever I do it, I'm like, it kind of feels like the triangle is like a little sideways, or like it's not making like a perfect equilateral looking, you know, shape around my neck here,
right,
or something.
Right,
like,
right.
I feel like I could fine tune it a little bit, but at the same time, like the times in which I need to wear a tie are so far and few in between that it's like I can just continue to get by with the knowledge that I have. And I'm like, am I doing it right? Am I just doing a bad job, or is it just totally fine and I'm overthinking it? I don't know.
Could be all of the above.
Yeah. Anyway. But so, yeah, I had put on here. This is, yeah, you're right. This is a good example because I was thinking last week, like I was confronted with a task. We have got our house is decorated with Christmas lights.
Yep.
Which got which are just like, you know, professionally installed.
Sure.
Which they're like, and I love the way it looks. And like people have stopped me in the street to compliment me on the lights. And I'm like, I love it. I love that our house is all lit up. It's so cool.
You're also in like a rather prominent spot inside of your neighborhood where it's like people like you enter and it's sort of like, no.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. Yeah, it's right there when you enter the neighborhood. There's like 400 houses. So like on the daily, lots of people are going by my house. So it feels like I got to set a good example for the entire neighborhood, which I think we're doing. But so the way we have the timer set up, when they were asking us, like when they were installing it for the season, they're like, when do you want the timer to go off? Like, do you want it to, you know, what time of day do you want it to come on and go off? And I was like, okay, I want it to start at like, you know, 6 p.m. and go to like 11 p.m. And then can you also do it from like 5:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. so that, you know, while people are leaving and it's still dark outside.
Oh, pretty clever. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
And that's what I did last year. And I liked that. I was like, ooh, even in the morning, we look like fun and festive and stuff.
Yes.
And I don't have to do anything.
Right.
Lo and behold, though, last year, they set it up exactly as I requested. This time, the next morning came and they did not set the timer for the morning, which is like, sort of a bummer. And it's like, you know, now they're completely gone. Like if they were there earlier, I could have been like, you know, maybe I would have seen it, but it's like, they're going to come back and redo it or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
That said, in the past, I know I have gone out there and been like, you know what? They're coming on like half an hour early. It's not dark yet. And I went out there and I like opened the box and I was like, oh God, you know, part of me was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to look at this thing. And like, I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up and then it's not going to work at all. And then there's going to be a whole week where they can't come out and fix it for me. And that's a huge amount of time when there's only 3 weeks until Christmas. So,
Don't
touch it because you're going to mess it up.
Right. This was literally, again, go back to the aquarium days. This would be like part of the interview process for joining the world of aquariums is programming a digital wall timer.
Yeah.
Because having your aquarium lights come on and off automatically is like, that is like automation step number one must be done, because otherwise people will forget to turn them off and the algae will just go like mad
bananas.
And
yeah.
Yeah. But then every single one of them is completely different and it will just drive you. It can drive you up a wall trying to program these things.
Yes. So I remember there was a couple years ago we decided to, I was going to go change it and I'd be like, I'll go. No promises, but I'll go look at it. I'll go open the box and see if I can like figure out how to do it. And like, I opened the box and like, I'm like looking at it and it's like simple as could be. I was like, oh, okay. And I just like moved the timer a little bit. It worked immediately. And I was like, okay, great. No problem.
Wow.
Like, I think I can handle it. That was like 3 years ago though. So whatever confidence I had about doing it is pretty much gone.
Oh, it's evaporated. You know?
It's evaporated. So now what I'm doing isn't extending an existing timer, which feels like it's just like making one wedge bigger. It's like I have to add in a whole second round.
Okay, what would this look like?
What is it gonna look like? Because like, and in my mind I'm like, I remember I fixed it before, so I'm like, I feel like I can do it, but what I'm going to need, what I'm going to require to do it, because you're also going to be outside, and no matter what, this is the kind of task where the weather will not behave. It's not like you're going to be, it's like you're going to be out there and you will be cold whilst you try and figure it out.
Yeah, probably also be like somehow like lightning and like heavy rain. And
Something, it's going to be making it uncomfortable. I'll probably be wearing like the wrong pant. This is kind of, whenever I have assembled furniture, I like change my pants.
Oh, like, okay.
If I'm wearing like jeans, it's just like, there's no chance.
You just know better at this
point. Right, it's like, yeah, like you're going to be crouching down. You're going to be like bending the fabric all over the place. It's like, this is going to be a thing that is going to be in your way. Then you're going to be like, why am I so frustrated? And you're not going to realize it's your pants. And eventually, I've gotten to the age in life where it's like, if you're putting together furniture, just put on some sweats, man.
Yeah, it's some good assembly pants.
Good, you need construction pants. And it's not outdoor construction pants. It's indoor construction pants. These are IKEA pants. You know?
IKEA pants, yeah. Well, this feels like a piece of merch. We could have assembly pants, and they're just literally sweatpants.
It's just sweatpants.
It's like for when you're inevitably installing stuff, putting things together.
You're going to be doing it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm like, I know the kind of fidgety, like, little task this is going to be to go add the hour and a half of time I want on the Christmas lights.
Right.
And it's like, I have no doubt that I can figure it out. Like, but what it is going to take is like 5 to 15 minutes of alone time outside where I'm unbothered and can just like stare at it and figure it out. And it's like, I live at my house enough to know that it doesn't exist. Like, it just, there's no chance.
This window is not available.
The window is not available, right? It's like, I know I am like 5 minutes, at any given point, I am like 5 minutes away from having the problem solved. But like, I can tell you, the act of like putting my shoes on or putting the jacket on or opening the door, all of these little like, are like visual audio cues to my children that like something's happening. What are you doing, Dad? What's happening? Like, or like that, like even if they don't follow me outside, which they will, like, they will recognize that the atmosphere of the inside of the house has changed, and they will get rambunctious. There will be loud noises. There will be crying, and like crying the kind of which that Beth can't handle by herself.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not like I can't, even if I tried to prepare for it and be like, I'm going to go work on the Christmas timer.
Right. Yeah. Because like, as a reminder, the task we're attempting to accomplish is go and spend 10 minutes outside tinkering with a timer.
That's all we need to do. Yeah. Like I'm going to be out there. Do not let anyone come bother me. It will not work.
Right.
Like I know I've read the weather too often of the house. And it's like someone's going to be out there or something's going to happen inside. It's like in my brain, I just know it. And it's like this potential metaphorical hurdle that will befall me is like enough to stop me from ever trying, even the, you know? And so it's like weeks have gone by and they're still not coming on in the morning. And it's like, the willpower needed to go outside and just fidget with it for like what cannot be more than like 5 to 10 minutes just isn't there, because I'm like, either someone's going to get out there and they're going to want to help. And it's like, no, you cannot help me. You cannot help me. The only way to help me is to go inside, which is never the way kids want to help.
Yeah, right, you
know,
right.
They want to be in there twisting stuff. And,
right. Yeah, you know, cannot even let them know that this timer exists.
I know. It's like, that's the other thing. It's like, if you know it exists, you might come out here and mess with it yourself.
Right. Yeah. You know? And then your lights are on from noon to five.
Exactly. Noon to five and in Spanish, you know? Yeah, right.
In Spanish. It's like people drive by and they're just like, huh,
those lights, are they in Spanish?
They might, certainly. Something, yeah,
I can't, these lights need subtitles. Like,
right. Oh man, that's hilarious. And yeah. Now what I find to be even funnier is the fact that we're now sitting here and you just got to spend 10 minutes describing the plight of not having 10 minutes available to fix your timer.
I know. This is and like there's so many times where like I feel like I need to go do a task. And it's like, the reason I haven't done this task yet is because of all the reasons I just said.
Yeah.
Like it, okay, this is sort of a funny one. So that happened literally yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. So
light on us.
Right. we have, if you're watching us on the YouTube channel, you'll see in between us is one of the Carlin Brother Mercantile candles. It is our poison apple candle.
Yes.
Yeah. We're doing like our, you know, Princess of the Month Club or whatever.
Yes. Yep.
And Beth for like months was like, hey, can you add candles to our Carlin Brothers coffee subscription? And I was like, absolutely, I can.
Certainly, I am that company.
I can make that happen for you. And I went to work and like I kept forgetting to do it at work. And like finally, I was like, okay, I'm getting it. I added the candles. I'm like, boom. I got, and this is even just adding it though. It's one of these tasks. Like, we have like like a code to use to like, you know, discount ourselves.
Sure.
When you're checking out online. Right. So I don't have to like email all the people or whatever. And it's like, I can never remember the code because it's extremely long so that it's not guessable. And I always have to go look it up. And for whatever reason, it's like at one point it changed. It used to be one thing that I knew and now it changed, but it changed to something so similar as to like, I have to go look it up and I have to like find it again. And it's like way deep in Slack. And it's like, that part of it always slows me down. But I eventually finally remembered to add the candles to the subscription. And like, I remember doing it and like, it's done. 3 months go by and we have not gotten a candle at the house. And I'm like, now, Beth's like, what? Why didn't you do it? And I'm like, I did. I promise I did. And now I'm like, now what I'm going to have to do is go in and like email one of our people and be like, something's wrong with my account, which is going to be embarrassing for me because we own the company. I'm like, why can't I figure it out?
Right, right.
And I have to like be like, something's wrong. How many other people is this happening to or whatever? Or I'm going to have to go and go through the entire discount code, look up fidgety process again. And I finally go ahead and do it. And I realize that after like 2 months or 3 months of this, that what has happened is once upon a time we made Super Carlin Brothers sweatshirts.
Yes.
And our grandpa commented on one of our Instagram posts and said, I'd love to have one of those. And I was like, I'm just going to send it to him right now so I don't forget.
Look at you go.
I know. I went through, I looked up the code and everything and I plugged in their address and boom, send them the sweatshirt. Awesome. Got it done. But that meant that on my Carlin Brothers coffee account, his address was saved somewhere in there. And even though I never need to send him anything at all,
right.
When I signed up for the candle subscription, even though my coffee subscription comes to my house, it sent the candles to him.
What blows my mind is that Grandpa's been receiving your candles.
Yes.
So yeah. What blows my mind the most is that you haven't received a phone call from Grandpa about
this like
exact
thing.
Like a
text message or anything like, oh, love the candles. Or anything like that. So I finally go in and discover the problem. Or I looked at my email and it was like, candle successfully delivered to your grandparents' P.O. box. And I was like, oh my gosh, I see what the problem is. And I'm going to have to go into my account and change the thing. And like, that's going to be an annoying task for reasons I've already stated. But the other day, Beth was like, did you ever fix the address thing on the candles? And I was like, I'm just going to do it right now. You're talking to me right now, and I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to change the address form right now while you're watching me do it. Like, let me pull it up. And like, in the time it took me to even just pull up the website and like try and log into the account, like Beth had changed the subject 3 more times and a child had started crying. And I was like, like, this is why I can't do it. Like, you ask me why I can't do it, this is why. Like, I only need 5 minutes of focused attention to change the address, and I can't, because since we started talking about it, I've had to also engage you in conversation and 4 other things, and I've been like asked to like microwave like food for a kid, and someone is crying because they tripped having a race around the house, and it's like, I can't, like, this is the reason.
Jay, this is going to age so hilariously. Like, looking back on this moment of your life and your, because both of these things, to an outsider, they are comically small problems.
They are
beyond comically small.
The small problems are the big problems, Ben. This is the truth of life, I think, is that the small problems are the big problems. And it's like, you're trying to do these little things and you can't, because like the stuff will get in the way. And like, even like, I remember earlier this year, we talked several podcasts long about setting up the garden in my backyard.
Yes.
And I had my whole watering dilemma where the hose like didn't quite reach, or I had to go out and like drag it out there every day, or, you know, the hose shrank or whatever. And at one point, that was so annoying. Oh my gosh. Like, I went out and bought this like super long hose that would reach to the garden so that I could leave the sprinkler right next to it. And every day I just have to go outside and turn on the faucet. And then Beth was like, I hate the look of the hose in the yard. You can't like leave it out there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's exactly why I got the hose.
this was my objective.
This is the play. We have to water the garden. And then like, her dad overheard that and he got me a new hose, which was great, thank you for that, except that problem was that hose only reaches if the water's turned on.
Oh, it's like one of those like retractable,
and then
when you
turn it off, it scrunches it back up, and it's like, now every day I gotta go not only turn the water on but also drag it out there again, which is anyway. hold everything. And at one point, I remember you being like, oh, you know what you should do so you don't have to go out and like turn the water on and off, or just get like a hose timer. And I was like, Ben, I'd love to. And like in my brain, I was like, that's a great, I think out loud, I was like, that's a great idea. And in my brain, I was like, Ben, I'd love to get a hose timer, but it's impossible. Okay. Like, look, I'm going to, the problem is I'll have to learn how to use a hose timer, and that'll take about 2 minutes. And I don't have 2 minutes. It won't exist. You know, I can't.
I almost want to like come over to your house on the weekends and yeah. you just give me a list of things you need done. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, I got you.
You think you do?
I got you. I mean, under these circumstances, I would request that you continue to watch your children,
yeah.
which is what you're extremely good at doing. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go and take care of some of the other bits for you. Cause I might be able to help.
Yeah. Maybe. I remember this was, so along the lines of Christmas decor, we have this big like ledge in the same room as the Christmas tree.
Yes.
If you can imagine, it's a vaulted ceiling. So it's like a big diagonal up, and then underneath where it would otherwise peak, there's like a wall down about halfway to where the ceiling should be. But of course, that's where the room is open.
Right.
That's creating the large space. But there's also like a ledge that just is like a big shelf.
Yeah. It's like a place for stuff.
It looks like born to put decorations up there.
Or just store Nerf bullets.
Or store Nerf bullets.
It feels like that's like where they would end up. And then it would just be like the kids be like, well, I couldn't reach them, so they're just up there forever now.
There's a large variety of things besides Nerf bullets that get stuck up there.
Yep.
For sure. There's Beanie Babies. There's, I mean, who knows? Anything that could be thrown is up there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to a child, a ledge is basically like a basketball hoop. It's just sort of like, what all can we get up
exactly.
there?
Exactly. If you're not trying to get stuff up there, you're accidentally getting stuff stuck up there.
True. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's high enough that I can't just reach it. You know? Okay. So if it's up there, I got to get like a ladder out. And I got to tell you, I don't own a big enough ladder to do that. So anyway, like, we have this sled from our grandparents that has been, it's like one of these like family heirloom type things.
Yes.
It has been in the family for like over 80 years,
yeah. you
know, if not longer. I don't know.
I think it dates back to like the first decade of the 1900s, like yeah. 1908 so is the number that comes to mind.
In which case it's over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And it's lived at our grandparents' house forever. They gave it to my parents. And we finally put the Christmas tree up in this room. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, what would go perfect on that ledge is the sled. It'll be like, it's a way to have it in the house and be very festive and put it on big display, and it'll be far out of reach of any child
right.
who might be aiming to accidentally destroy it.
I was going to say, did you ask the kids to throw it at each other for sport and then have it accidentally land up on the edge?
Yeah, that might have worked. So
this is a huge sled. Like that was a joke. There's no way they could throw it at each other.
Yeah, they couldn't throw it at all. But as it's very old, it's possibly fragile, especially in like certain locations, which I have been told by dad is very tricky woodwork and could not be replaced by like modern whatever
artisans. Yeah.
Modern artisans like this, you know, this is the spot, and not only that, but it's a little slap job already or whatever. I'm like, okay, I got it. But he brings it over and I'm going to put it up there, and I go to, and there's some like tube lights up there.
Okay.
And I'm like, I go to put the sleigh up, and it turns out like there's not a spot for it to rest where it's not like also hitting the lights.
Oh,
and I'm like, this is a problem. It's like, it feels like a fixable problem because the tube lights, like all I need to do is like inch them forward, like an inch.
Okay.
You know, but, whoever put them up there clearly did the correct thing. Just screwed them into place.
Sure.
So they're not, accessible to move the extra inch, which means that I can't put the sled up there until I can move the tube lights 1 inch away from the wall so there's room for the runner to fit on the shelf.
So you gotta get a drill.
I need to, one, get a ladder, bring it to my house. That was the problem, is that I have like a step ladder enough to like put the sled up there, but not one that's high enough to like access the lights. Excuse me, I'm about to cough. And then So I finally, I bring a ladder from work and I'm like, I am going to do this. Like I even knew when I was going to, I had a plan. Like I was going to be the only person in the house. I was like, we got this. Beth and the twins are on a trip. Luke is in bed. I just want to sit here and play games. But I am like, because in the meantime, every day that the sled is not up there, it's just in my house, you know,
yeah,
ready to be destroyed.
Sure, sure, sure. And not to mention, it's like you want it to be festive for as long as possible.
As long as possible.
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
I set up the ladder. And I get up there and I'm investigating the light. And however the metal casing clips together, it is such that like I cannot access any of the screws with the screwdriver to like pull the light away from it at all, because they're all like inside the mechanism.
Okay, yeah.
So it's looking more and more to me like the only way to get to the spots to even unhinge the metal from itself is for me to take the light bulbs out of it first, which is probably just a good call anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. But the problem then becomes that those are the only light source in that room. So the I can't work on it in the dark.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm like, this is such a, like, I'm trying to be so proactive about it. Even if I, and it's like one of those things, like, I know now that I'm going to have to do it in the middle of the day, or at least when it's still light outside so that the windows can give in on there. But that means I'm going to have the ladder set up while there are children awake and while I'm up there. And like, even then, and I get the light bulb out, I might still fall short, because like I still can't access the screws even without the light bulb in there. And it's like, it's so much effort to possibly still run into a brick wall of frustration. And it's just like, it's
and as of recording it is December 11th.
It's December 11th.
So you got like really 2 good weeks.
I know. Well, I mean, yeah, you could probably get into like a few weeks into January.
Sure,
probably.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, just, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, sleds are not just holiday
they're not
centric. I mean,
you know,
you could
last us through the winter. You know, it could be fun, but it's like, I gotta, like, the pressure is on to move this light 1 inch away from the wall so that I can put the sled up there. And that's my current predicament, that I'm like, am I 5 minutes away from it? I don't know. But that window of opportunity is so like hard to come by.
No, yeah. And I mean, this is definitely, I think, one of those things that I, like when I started my vlog, back when Addie was born, I think the thing that became very apparent to me very quickly, and then like almost even like one of the things that I was like, I am not even creating like a new, in my mind, I was like, you know, a week is plenty of time to have a new message each week. Like for the pop, you know, we don't talk about necessarily the exact same topic. We touch on a lot of the same things fairly frequently, but like, you know, I like to think that at least week to week to week, you know, we talk about different areas of our life, different problems that we're dealing with, you know, like whatever. With my vlog, I felt like I kept getting to the end of every single episode, and like my wrap up for the week was, man, I have less time than before. You know, and it was like, man, I'm tired. My bandwidth limited, you know, and like all of these things had like the same denominator, which was largely just like, now having become a parent, your life is just so much busier than it used to be. And now like all of the time that you had to do things like exactly like what you're describing, you now don't really have the available, like, same amount of availability to like kind of get this thing done. And then it becomes super apparent super quickly, like the number of things that you try to, you know, incorporate into your life. Like I came in this very morning to the office, and I was so excited to tell the staff that I had finally baked a loaf of bread, which, you know, I had like literally bought the pans and the materials and like everything that I needed to bake bread like 6 months ago. And like yesterday, Addie was like under the weather, and so because she was like willing to just sort of be like parked and like, you know, wrapped up in blankets, and like we had like Frozen playing like on the TV and stuff like that, it was like, oh my goodness, I have time to go and bake some bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Whoa. And
but like now, I mean, hearing the challenges that you're up against, it's definitely like, okay, I feel like baking bread was a pretty luxurious use of my spare time compared to my inability to go and like change a timer.
Yeah.
So
yeah. There you go.
Anyway,
this is my life now.
Well, next July, be sure to report back. Let us know how the sled situation's going.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be very excited to hear, you know, how you get it all ready, you know, for the 4th of July.
And, yeah, right. I know. Yeah. It's like, that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, and then am I going to go to all the trouble of getting it down? Or is it like, no, it's staying up there now?
That was my exact thought. I was like, You might just want to go for a sled vibe.
Yeah,
in
you
this
know,
room.
More like, sled house
let,
now.
Let that lead the way. You know, I mean, some people say like, you know, the area rug is like a great way to like sort of dictate like the feng shui, so to speak, like the design terms, like what colors are we using? Just make it very sled oriented.
Yes.
Just giant pictures of reindeer, you know what I mean?
All the time. People be like, you know, it's like, you guys really into Christmas? And be like, no, I'm into sleds. I'm into sleds.
It's like, oh, really? How did that interest happen? Well, once upon a time, it was really hard to get that sled up on that ledge, and then I did, and basically that's my whole personality now.
It's not going anywhere, let me tell you that.
go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, sleds.com.
Yeah, sleds. Yeah, if you want the full story, check out Popcorn Culture, episode 210. I complained about it for 10 minutes.
Oh, man. Good times.
So anyway, maybe I'm only 5 minutes away. It makes me wonder how many things I'm like 5 minutes away from learning how to do. And like, or even, you know, we when our other podcast Through the Gryffindor, we were recording it last week, and we have this like big monitor down there so we can see, you know, what we look like.
We're a lot further from the camera itself under that circumstance. We needed like a good way to see, make sure like that we were in focus and that the camera is like recording, because we're the only people in the room while we're doing it.
Yeah.
So there's nobody else that are like sitting and monitoring to make sure that it works.
Right. Exactly. And the last thing you want in that kind of podcast where you're doing like, you know, off the cuff analysis is to like lose the video or lose the audio, because like you can't recreate the conversation you had.
Yeah. There's no script for these things.
There's no script. Yeah. It's not like I can just go re-record it. So there's that. And sure enough, like last week we were recording and the monitor, which normally has like a display on it and shows the little red dot or this big red square that indicates that you're recording, all the display goes away and it's just showing us. And we're like, normally if it's just showing us, it means it's not recording at all.
Yeah.
And we like have this like, you know, freak out mid record session. We were like, oh, what do we do? Like, do we need to stop? And we got up and we checked it, and for whatever reason, it just stopped showing the display on the monitor. It was still recording, thank goodness. We didn't like lose the episode or anything, but it was like, let's, you know, how do we fix this so that we can see it on the monitor? Like, what happened such that, you know, we're not seeing it? And it feels like the kind of task that is like, because you're going to be like fiddling through the camera and going through all the settings and trying to wonder what it is, like it probably is like 5 to 10 minutes away from being solved permanently.
Right.
But also there's other people who work here who just know how the camera works better, and you can just ask them how to set it up. And that's how we did it the first time around. And for some reason now it's just like glitched out of the problem.
Right.
And it's like if we learn how to do it, then in the future, we'll be able to solve it. But like in the moment, the person who set it up wasn't here that day. And it's like,
yes. Yep. So, I mean, and that's exactly how it goes. Like, I mean, because that's like more than anything, it's like, because there's somebody in the room who's already kind of an expert on this thing, it's almost like we don't ever really need to spend that much time worrying about getting to know it ourselves, because we have somebody here who's just already an expert on it.
Right. Like, and that's why we hired them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, like you do run into these like weird problems where it's like, how is it possible that we've made it this far in this career and still haven't learned how to make the monitor display the little red dot that says, hey, you're recording, just so you know.
Yeah. It's like, and it feels like it should just be one or two buttons, but it's like, but for whatever reason, it's not. And it's like, and then you're like, it was working, but now it's not. So is it even something I can just fix? Am I actually hitting the right buttons and the technology is not just not talking to each other?
Yeah.
It's like, don't know. So anyway, that's my rant over, I suppose.
Rant over. Yeah. Wow, well done.
I'll let you know whether or not I fix the Christmas lights.
And the red blinking light and the sled.
And the sled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have the ladder at the house now. So there's that.
That's one big step done.
I know. I gotta find time to get up there, and it's gonna be tricky. I don't know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, be sure to let us know.
I will.
I wanna know. Okay. Yeah. All right, transition?
Transition. All right.
Popcorn culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, Jay, so I had a dream myself here recently. So
oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago on the pop, you regaled us all with the concept that is Death Cat.
Death Cat.
Yeah. Which has been honestly one of the more fun conversations to go and have with just about every person that I know.
Oh man. You're like, yeah, I have an idea for a movie. They're like, oh yeah. It's like, yeah, first of all, it's called Death Cat. And it's like, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Here's
yeah,
my money.
Right. Yeah. Like literally every single person, it's like you lead with Death Cat and they're like, I'm already in.
Yeah.
Tell
course,
me more.
Yeah. Why doesn't that exist already?
Right. So anyway, so Death Cat has been a lot of fun. The short premise for anybody who hadn't heard it in the past is basically Jay had a dream about like an eccentric rich person of sorts, either an M-illionaire or a B-illionaire. One of the two. And basically the thing is, like, if you can, you and your friends can survive a whole weekend with Death Cat, then you are entitled to like some big large sum of money.
Right. Yeah.
And basically like the group of gents or folks go and stay with the cat, and then just chaos ensues.
They don't make it. Who knew?
Death
Cat wins.
Right. Yeah. But then the real question is, like, is the cat doing it on purpose, or is it just sort of this like weird like amount of pressure attached to the knowledge that there could be so much at stake,
right,
that like people are taking it like to such extreme levels. Like they're almost like, it's like being on stage. It's like you're now like aware of every single movement you make,
yeah,
and like everything becomes that much more erratic.
Right. Yes. Perhaps there's like as I'm thinking about it, maybe there needs to be a clause like the winnings will be like split evenly amongst all of you or something. Then it's like, oh, so if there's less of us, there's more for us.
Right. Then the real question is the cat even relevant to the story at all?
But of course the cat is relevant, because that's like, that's the catalyst.
The catalyst.
And then it's like, yeah, is the cat like supernatural? Is there something, is the millionaire or billionaire like, you know, like secretly like the devil or something?
Ooh,
and you're like,
okay.
You know, is there something like, you know, truly malicious happening here? Or is it just like, this guy is just an eccentric dude who loves to watch the chaos happen?
Could be. Yeah. Hard to know. And then we also came up with the hilarious, well, in our personal opinion, idea of having every single one of the Death Cat sequels having some type of other well-known sequel related like numerology attached to it. So like 2 Death 2 Cat.
Yeah. 2 Death 2 Cat or
Return of the Death Cat.
Yeah.
That's a Return of the King joke.
Yeah. Or what was it? Death Cat 2 Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
Death Cat 3 Tokyo Drift. Yeah.
Death Cat 5 Order of the Phoenix.
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that. It's like, wait, what's going on?
It's like, why is that part of the title? It's like, oh, because the writers think it's hysterical. And the studio for some reason approved it.
I know. It's like, is this legal? Are we getting away with this?
Okay, probably so not. Probably
Death
not.
Cat 5 Order of the Phoenix. Can't wait.
Yes. So similarly, a couple of nights later, then I ended up having a dream that I have told you about before, so you're going to have to listen to it again. But the basic concept of the dream was sort of a lot of like what you see in like space related like films and stuff like that, where like a lot of times like hypersleep is sort of like something you might do, where like, you know, you are going to be traveling so far in space to reach such a far flung destination that the like best way to get you to survive getting there without sort of like, you know, going mad with boredom in the process is basically just like hypersleep. So you're going to be asleep for like years or something while the ship just like quietly, noiselessly travels through space and eventually gets there. So I was basically having this dream that you and I were in space doing like a similar kind of mission, and we were given these like tablets or pills or something, like a small consumable, and what it would allow either of us at any point in time to do would basically be to experience one night worth of sleep. Like that is like from your perspective on things, you would basically like lay down and for some reason in a sleeping bag, I don't know if that's like just for safety purposes or whatever the case may be, but what it would do is actually put you into like just a complete state of stasis for one whole year. And so the really weird thing in my dream that happened was like you and I were chatting and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do one of these things, like, you know, I'll see you, like for me it's basically like I'll see you tomorrow, and you're like, all right, I'll see you next year,
right?
But like, you know, I crawl into the sleeping bag, I take the thing, and like when I then wake back up, I'm like blown away at like how different the cockpit of like our ship is, and I'm like, whoa, like what did you do, like, you know? But then like from your perspective, you've just been going through and living 365 days of your life, you know, like doing different projects, building different little things for the ship, like, you know, moving this thing here because you needed space over there, whatever the case may be.
I have
like
all the time in the world to do projects on this ship.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like all the timers. Perfect.
Perfect timers. You know what? They're great. I didn't have 5 minutes to learn how to do something. I had a year.
To learn how to do as many things
as I wanted.
The sleds are exactly where we want them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I put one on the nose of the ship. Didn't EVA. Why?
I don't know. Why? You know what? what? I was like, how long is it going to take me to learn how to do that? I was like, a couple hours? Like, all right, well, that's all I got by time.
Right. So why not? But like, so the point is that you're experiencing time in such a long form way that like in your mind, not that much has really changed about the ship. Like,
yeah.
like you don't even really notice. It's almost like watching your own child grow up versus like seeing a family member's child, like only at Christmas each year.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you see them and you're like, whoa, you're a year older. You're a year bigger. You can say a lot more things. Like you're doing a sport now. You started first grade. Like, you know, like there's all, you know, it's like you see like one stop, you know, like big increments apart. And so, but like, yeah, as a parent, like you never notice your kid's hair getting longer or, you know, them speaking more or something necessarily, because it's all happening so slowly and organically that it makes sense. So anyway, the concept then that I sort of translated this to in my head after I woke up was, I was like, this would be like a really interesting premise for a story where all of humanity, all of society, like when you are born, you have five, and I call them stones. Mm-hmm. So you have five stones that each allow you to skip 1 year of time.
Right.
And you can take them, you can choose to not take them ever. You can choose to take them strategically for different reasons, like whatever the case may be, but they cannot be transferred. They're all like biologically like linked to your person. Mm-hmm. And the idea would be that, like, you know, through stages or whatever, you could go and experience exactly as I described. You could take one of your stones, you would go to sleep for what would feel like one evening, and you would wake up and it would be 1 year later.
Right.
And like, it's been kind of interesting to me because I spent the next couple of days, like similar to Death Cat, like going and like telling everybody in my life this concept. And I felt like the ways in which people were coming up with like how or why, if ever, they would choose to take one of the, and then the name of the story would be called Skipping Stones.
Right. Yeah. Your Skipping Stones. Yeah.
You see, you have your Skipping Stones. Yeah. So how would you use each, or would you use your five Skipping Stones?
Right.
And I think that the knee jerk reaction for a lot of people was sort of like, well, I would never want to miss a year of anything.
Right.
You know, like that is not something that like I would choose to do. But and then it seems like once it sits with people for a couple of minutes, there's been like some really interesting things like, or responses that have come up.
Yeah.
And from like very different perspectives as well. So like one of them, for example, was sort of this idea that like, if you were going through like a really challenging breakup, for example, you might sort of be like, you know what? I'm going to take one of these skipping stones because part of what is so difficult about the breakup is sort of like the immediacy of it, like feeling all of the feels attached to like what's happening and like where will our lives go and where will they end up. But if you were to go through a breakup, you don't get the experience of a full year pass. You just get the one night of sleep.
Right.
But if you were to wake up essentially, air quotes, the next morning, 1 year later, then at least the person who you went through the breakup with has now had one full year of time to go and like rebuild their own life somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know, or like to go and like find their new normal in some type of new situation.
Right.
Or alternatively, another one might be like a situation where maybe you've reached like an older age in life and you're like anticipating, like maybe you have like a grandson, granddaughter, you know, who is like 23, 24, and like you want to ensure that you will be there like for their wedding or something. So you systematically take like one, wake up a year later. Are you guys getting closer to like, you know, like a wedding day or something? And it's like, no, we're not quite there yet. And it's like, so you do the next one. And like, you wake up and it's like, oh, we're engaged. Like, you know, we have a date set for like, you know, like whatever. And so the idea at that point in time might be like, well, I want to be sure I can be there for this person's wedding day.
Right.
You know, and I've waited my whole life. I saved all my stones. Now I can like literally just like allow my body to go into the stasis, you know, for these nights.
Yeah.
And each time, like, I can wake up a year later, check in, see what's going on, and if all is well, then all is good.
Yeah, because like the idea is that like once you're in skip,
right?
Yeah, once you're skipping, nothing, everything remains the same to your body.
Yeah. So like your body doesn't age or like nothing about your physical self is challenged in any way, shape, or form.
Right. So like if you have like cancer or something and they're like, well, you've got, you know, 6 months to live, you can take one of your stones and maybe like wait a year for like some research to develop or something.
Also
without
true.
Like
yes.
a risk.
Yeah, no, that's another really good one. Yeah. It's sort of like, it's like, you know, we're so many years out on, you know, like studies are being done right now, but like, you know, it's this far in the future. So, you know, like whatever, that could be the type of thing where it's like, okay, like I'm going to see, like, will 5 years make a difference?
Yeah. I think what's super, this sounds like an episode of like Black Mirror or
it
something.
It definitely does. Yeah. Black Mirror is what it reminded me of a lot. Yeah.
What's so fun, I think, about concepts like this is like, it's so like you when you think about it the first time is you think about all the ways in which you could use it to either improve or to probably improve certain aspects of your life as it exists right now. But what you really have to take into consideration when you're like world building for something like this is that the entire world that the people are living in would be one where everyone had always had these like stones available the whole time.
Yes.
So like how different is society like as a whole? Like, is it, you know, is it like, are people mad when people, because like right now, like if I feel like if suddenly everyone had it or something, like you'd have to like have this adjustment period of like, oh, we didn't used to have this, but now we do. And so it's like, now it feels like a, like, how do you do it? But if it's just been ingrained into the culture forever, then it's like, one of the ideas I came like that immediately came to my mind was like, oh, well, like imagine you get to like, you know, the year before retirement and you got a stone and you're like, well, guess what? Ba-boom, I'm going to go ahead and just do this and wake up tomorrow and be retired. It'll be amazing.
Right.
You know, but then you're like, oh, so now let's see, like in a world like this, are you allowed to just like do this? And would you like be safe from being fired at your job? Or like if you intentionally cut like years off of, exactly that, like retirement cutting or something, like is that like allowed or is that like a known entity? It's like, no, we understand that enough people started to take advantage of the system that like, you know.
Well, and that's even the thing. Yeah, I think it's so ingrained into all of culture in this like fictional world in my mind is that like it's the type of thing where nobody would contest it ever. Like, because you have five moments in your life, year long moments, to be fair, like, which is a lengthy amount of time.
Yeah.
But you have five of these.
Yeah.
Everybody recognizes like the potential sanctuary or like the reason or the understanding or just like, it's like the universally agreed upon type of thing where it's like, if somebody decides to use their stones, you know, to like, and they're going to be gone from work for a year or something. It's like, that is just a pre-excused all the time and always like, absolute, like
right.
You can't be fired for using one of your stones.
Right.
But you know, so then like the interesting thing as well would be something like, take like, you know, 2020 or something, you start to see like the pandemic,
oh yeah,
you know, start to unfold a little bit. And you know, I could see a world where all of a sudden people might be like, man, it wouldn't be the worst to just be like, let's just see what's happening a year from now.
Oh yeah.
You
know? I mean, like, I can only imagine it. Cause like, I remember when the pandemic, when we first started hearing about like COVID and stuff, it was like, man, this sounds bad. Like, you know, I mean, it sounds so naive when you think back on it, but I remember thinking like, you know, let's just give everyone, let's have everyone work from home for, you know, the rest of the week and we'll just see where we're at on Sunday, you know? And it was like, you know, by Sunday they were like, all right, everyone's going to be working home until June. And you're like, God, what? Wait, what? Cause that was like, you know, January.
Sure. Yeah. March, I think.
Yeah. Whatever it was. Yeah. But it was like, excuse me, because I thought, ooh, okay. Oh, wow. You
right.
know? And then, you know, you look back now we're like years later, and it's like, yeah, it's still sort of present. It's like,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can totally see where things were like starting to get really bad. People would be like, yeah, absolutely. We'll just skip. You know, we'll get a year out and everything, you know, hopefully everything will be better when I wake up.
Right. But then the question ultimately then becomes as well is that like there's a kind of, I mean, like, you know, obviously you don't want anybody subjected to those circumstances in life. And yet simultaneously, we all just kind of did together.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, this is like one of those things where it's like, I wouldn't wish it on anyone ever. But then also like, is there anything about having that shared experience? And I think that this would be like the central theme or subject for like, you know, the episode of Black Mirror about this, the novel about this, whatever, like the case may be, the movie, TV show, you know, but like is having that shared experience with other people just always more valuable?
Right.
You know, is that always more worthwhile? And on some level, you know, I think that like, this is just, I mean, to me, it's just a thought experiment. Like that's, I don't have like an underlying objective or right. feeling or sentiment or something. It's just sort of like, it's been fascinating to me as I've presented it to people. Like, you know, where does your mind go? Like what would this world of being able to skip past this much time, this quickly grant you as an individual? Because the other thing too is like once you go down for like your skip, like there is nothing to take you out of it. So like there's also right. that chance of like, you know, missing like a birthday or like a like an asteroid fly over Earth or something right, like yeah. that. You know, like what will you, I mean, you don't have a choice. Like there is no way to come out of it. Like once you're down, you're down, you know, and you'll be back up as far as you're concerned. And yeah.
Could you be murdered? Probably.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah.
Why not? What's to stop someone from breaking in and just like stabbing you? Wouldn't that still do it?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you be affected by knives?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have an answer to that question. I just don't like that because it feels like it tampers with my thought experiment too much.
Yeah, right.
You know, which is like, I don't like the thought of it being risky.
Right. Yeah. You don't, you gotta have to address skip stabbing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like that becomes a thing.
Maybe you can go to like a safe place or something.
Maybe there's a safe place. Yeah. Where you bring your sleeping bag.
Do you remember the movie Click?
I do remember Click. It's an Adam Sandler movie. Yeah.
It reminds me of that, which if you don't know the premise, Adam Sandler wanders into a Bed Bath & Beyond and finds himself in the Beyond section where he gets a universal remote, which can control the universe, essentially.
Yes.
And like he can use it to like fast forward life or like rewind stuff or whatever. And it has, and it's like, it, but it's like programmed to his life. So it'll like learn his behavior. So he like, at one point decides like, I'm just going to skip past this fight with my wife or whatever. And then it like skips him ahead. You know, the first time he does it, it skips ahead like 5 minutes and she's like, sorry about that. There's no big deal.
Right.
But then like every single time they have a fight, the remote's like, oh, you wanted to skip this. Whoop. And you know, so, you know, the next one's maybe like a couple hours and then eventually he wakes up and it's like 8 years later and they're divorced. And it's like, oh no.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, like some really wild stuff has happened. Yeah. And it's actually a deeply sad movie.
It is. It's like, yeah, this was, I remember that movie came out. It was like every Adam Sandler movie was hilarious. It was so funny. Like Click, what a funny premise. It's kind of reminded me of like Liar Liar or something.
Yeah. Because you know, it's the kind of thing I feel like, and I can't remember if like rewinding is a thing or not like that, but it seemed like, you know, he would like, if there was like that person who was driving you nuts at work or something, like, you know, he would go up and like say something to him and he could like get it off his like chest and then like rewind. And then it would just sort of be like, boom. Okay. Now I can have this interaction again. And like, I got to sort of experience saying the thing to you, but now I don't actually have to say the thing to you.
So
now,
like, we,
you know, and I can't remember what the exact circumstance is, but like there are comedic and funny things about using the remote. I think like there's like a slow motion, you know, something or another you could do.
I want to say someone gets hit, you know, between the legs and, you know, watches it over and over.
Right. Thing. Yes. Yeah.
But then, yeah, by the end, oh my God, it's like, it was marketed as a comedy. And let me tell you, it's not.
It's not a comedy.
But it is. I mean, and not that it's a bad movie. But I felt like it misrepresented itself in the trailers.
Yes. Then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, like I remember watching it in mom and dad's living room, like in the rocking chair and just being like, oh my gosh, I'm crying all of a sudden.
What happened?
Like, when did this come about?
Yeah.
So anyway, but the Click did come to my mind when this like sort of concept started scrolling through my brain a little bit. The other question would be in like a relationship or something like that, would there be, because that would be such a strange thing if like your spouse did it.
Oh yeah.
And then you're just like without them for like a whole year. You know, or like, would you like make more of like a pact to like, you know, do that together.
Right. Like we always skip together or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we'll always do our skips together. The other one that I thought about would be like very interesting would be like, you know, if you were trying to like see if like an investment paid off and you were just sort of like, I'm putting like my whole nest egg into this thing.
Right.
And it's just sort of like, I'm going to wait 5 years and like, hopefully at the end of those 5 years,
big. Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, there's all of these like little like nudges in life, you know, that I think happen along the way where sometimes the idea of like just being able to like just put blinders on to everything the whole time and just sort of be like, I have one focus and this focus is this investment working out, you know, it'd be like to be able to like come out the other side and be like, did it work? Like,
yeah. Right.
Essentially 5 days later for as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting concept. So anyway, I think this is a great spot to leave it because it's where I would like to invite some feedback from the audience. Basically would be, is there anything that stands out to you about the Skipping Stones? Is there anything that feels like, like a circumstance where you'd be like, oh, this would be a good time to use it?
Oh, yeah,
or like, is there any part of you that like hears this and you're like, I would never use them?
Never at all.
You know,
bear in mind that like, just because a year is like, so like the, for the rules of it, like as far as you're concerned, it is literally the next day. So like, you know, Ben used like a breakup example or whatever, earlier, like if you had like a bad breakup or something, you're like, I want to stop feeling this way, so I'm gonna skip. It's like when you wake up the next day, it is still going to feel like you got dumped yesterday.
So maybe this is more like if you're the dumper versus the dumpy,
right? Yeah,
you know, like you want to be like generous to them and be like, look, you know, that I knew this is gonna be extremely hard for you. I am going to take a skip, so like, you know, you will, for the next year, you will not have to deal with like witnessing me out on like a different date or watching my life evolve in this way, that way, or something like that. You know, like it'd be a very generous use of your skip to this other human being.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, that is probably more the circumstance. So for what it's worth, yeah, you don't get to wake up a year later and be like, you know, I don't even remember that person anymore. Like,
right, yeah.
It would still be yesterday for you.
Yeah.
So which would be its own extreme version of,
I know. That feels like it'd be fun. Cause like certainly despite that being true, people would still do it, you know.
What's that?
Like try and avoid emotional pain.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I think that there's certainly some of that, but sometimes that is like, you know, at least my mind, I feel like it can thirst for that. Like, you know, like let the, it's almost like moving to a new city, like having like a fresh start on things. Like I can almost imagine that, where it'd be like, if you let a full year of time pass where like you weren't inside of the same social groups, or you weren't going in and running into this person in this place, or, you know, like if you could like avoid so many particular details or whatever, like then it could be the case that like by waking up essentially, you know, again the next day, then some things might give you like a like some version of a fresh start.
Sure.
You know, like you could kind of go back and, you know, like new little isms about your life.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So anyway, if you have any feedback for us, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. I do always love reading all of your feedback and your insights and your just thoughts about the pop in general. So if you're ever wondering, like, should I send them an email? Like, you know, you should, because I genuinely enjoy reading them all. You know, I every single email that comes through, I promise I read it, even if I can't respond to all of them. So popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/popcornculture. We have at the $5 tier, after the final pop, it's just an extra 10 to 15, 20 minutes of Jay and I talking after each week's episode about either something we talked about in the main pop or something we didn't get to in the main episode. Any one month will give you access to the full catalog of all the back episodes as well. So hopefully some good bang for your buck there. Again, that's patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.